Good afternoon and welcome back to Cresta in the Afternoon. Marcus Peter here, filling in for Al Cresta. Today we're remembering Pope Benedict XVI. We celebrated his birthday yesterday. And from the beginning of his papacy, Pope Benedict showed us that truth is an unyielding, unchanging reality that flows from the very person of God. And it is found in its clearest revelation in the person of Jesus Christ. Pope Benedict emphasized that he would not be pursuing his own vision for the Church, but he would strive to enact and put forth only God's own vision. Yesterday would have been his birthday, and we remember him with Louise Mary. Louise is a freelance author on Catholic subjects. Her articles have been published in Catholic Life, Novena Magazine, and the St. Austin Review. She is the founder of Community of Mary, Mother of Mercy, which is an organization in which senior priests and Catholic laity support each other through prayer and friendship in living as disciples of Jesus. Louise, it's a joy to have you on the program.
Thank you so much for having me. I listen to this show all the time, so it's a real honor to be on it.
Oh, well, the honor's all ours, truly. And we came across this article of yours in Catholic Exchange, and it's very clear you've got a deep daughter's heart for this spiritual father. So maybe start there as to what stirred within you to want to pen this article.
Yes, I've actually wanted to write something about Pope Benedict for some time, but it was kind of hard to find the words, you know, because I really love and admire him so much. I admired him when he was a cardinal and a prefect of the Congregation of the Doctrine of the Faith, and I prayed that he would become pope. I really thought that he would be someone who would continue, you know, the work that Pope John Paul had been doing of proclaiming the truth of the faith, because that's what he had always done as a cardinal, and I was so happy when he was named pope. And, you know, I've always prayed for him, and I'd written to him a few times, and you know, I just really wanted to share more about him.
Well, I'm really glad you did that. And so, do you have any personal? You clearly elucidate some of it in the article, but do you have any personal stories of love pertaining to Pope Benedict XVI?
Personal stories? Well, just the first time I wrote to him, he wrote back and gave an apostolic blessing to a local Catholic young adult group I was part of. And then soon after, so many more people joined it. So we all thought that was a great help. And I always liked how he encouraged people to be part of Catholic communities. And that was an influence on me. Back in 2006, there weren't really many Catholics my age in my area. So I went and spent 6 weeks in England and volunteered in a parish and became part of a Catholic young adult group there. And then a few years later, one did start up in my area, and I was part of that. And, you know, there's really nothing like sharing your faith with people and developing those deep friendships that come from having a shared faith.
Right.
And so that was a big influence on me on that aspect.
And I love that you shared that. See, I didn't even know about that. I was reading this article, thinking you were going to share about how you were attending a lecture series by Father Fessio in University of Notre Dame, and he taught you about how this was a man worth following, and that's what developed your love. So I did not know that you wrote to him, and that he granted you an apostolic blessing. That's a powerful story. I wish I had that.
I know it was wonderful. Yes. And of course, you know, Father Fessio's talks were very good. Well, he was there actually talking, I think, about Vatican II at a conference that was organized by Ralph McInerney. And then he, you know, he had that friendship with Pope Benedict, and he spoke about what he's really like as a person, you know, and that was just very moving to hear that.
Mm-hmm. I don't often share this story, not because I'm ashamed, but because I tend to forget it until right this minute, actually. When I was 15, I was quite the atheist and you know, self-ascribed militant atheist and really proud of it. But I remember when the Holy Father John Paul II died, and then the conclave was going on. And then on about April the 18th or so, this article came out in the Malaysian newspaper about the list of cardinals who were considered the preferiti, you know, the ones who perchance could become pope. And I remember looking at then Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger's picture. And I kid you not, this very atheistic, no love for the church young man looked at that picture and thought, gosh, he looks like a father. And then I didn't think anything of it. I had no idea.
Amazing?
Well, then there must have been an early intervention of the Holy Spirit, because it would be years before I came back into Christianity and more years before I came back into Catholicism. But really, there was something about the man, even from a picture, where one could sense fatherly love just exuding from him. And your article kind of highlights that. So talk about how his constant putting forth of truth as this unshakable reality was really flowing from a father's heart.
Yes, that's exactly it, because he loved us so much. He wanted us to know the truth and live in the truth and have a close relationship with Jesus. So he never imposed anything on people, but he shared the truth and gave it to us and always emphasized the role of Jesus in our lives. And you know, he understood that maybe the church might be smaller for a time, but he wanted us to be a witness to other people, and hopefully, you know, that would lead people back home into the church. So I think he understood that you don't attract people by compromising with the truth, mm-hmm. because people are genuinely attracted once they hear it, I think.
Right, and you're completely right. We're seeing this advent of the kind of groups of faith that have chosen to be as secular as possible in the expression of the faith. And not only are their numbers dying, that there's a lack of attraction and appeal, because if people are looking at that and thinking, well, I can get this in the world, I don't need it from you. And on the flip side, it is precisely those congregations and those groups that have held true to the deposit of faith and are living it in a vibrant manner, revitalized with the spirit that has flown forth, you know, in empowering the laity and the Holy Spirit's movements after Vatican II. And we're seeing those groups really surge in participation, really surge in membership. People are attracted to a bulwark of truth amidst the raging seas of relativism in the world.
Yeah, no, I agree. And also his emphasis on reverence in the Mass.
Mm-hmm.
That's another thing that brings people to those beautiful, reverent Masses when they get celebrated.
So you highlight the fact that he was a wonderful spiritual father to us. And perhaps therein lies the problem. There's a misconception that I remember people just wrote him off, oh, he's an intellectual, he's a theologian, you know, he's not my cup of tea. And it used to irk me so much, because those people never really sat down and read his writings as Pope.
No.
So you know, but you say he was a wonderful spiritual father to us. And you elucidate that a lot. So talk about that.
Yes, well, you know, one of the things I love about the priesthood is that priests are our spiritual fathers, and I did find Pope Benedict a very fatherly man, because I believed he really did care about us and loved us and was praying for us. And, you know, you could see that in his interactions with young people in the World Youth Day, or, you know, his other interactions at audiences. But just the fact that he wanted to protect us from, you know, like harmful teachings and give us the true teachings. So you just felt he really cared about your spiritual welfare.
Right. And in fact, even on his deathbed, or I mean, it should say these words were taken before he died. Before he died. But he gave the whole world, all of his spiritual children, one final commission: stand firm in the faith. Do not let yourselves be confused. Jesus Christ is truly the way, the truth, and the life, and the church, with all its insufficiencies, is truly his body. I mean, what fantastic words to proclaim as kind of your final exhortation to your children.
Yes. You know, in fact, one of the things I always appreciate about him was that he always seemed to be encouraging the faithful Catholics to remain faithful, you know, while he was evangelizing everybody else. But he just really showed, you know, that it's possible we can become saints. God will give us the graces we need and just remain faithful. And, you know, I always felt very encouraged by him.
You know, we have about 3 minutes left in the segment, and you do highlight this, that you personally felt sad and disappointed when Pope Benedict resigned. And you're in good company. A lot of us felt that way. So share what you were going through during that moment.
Well, I was sad because, you know, I prayed for him to be Pope, and I thought he was an absolutely wonderful Pope. But at the same time, I knew, you know, from the beginning that he did find it difficult as an older man to have this role, and had spoken of his struggles of it and even of the possibility of resigning. So I couldn't be critical of him. You know, I had to accept that was his decision, and that he had prayed about it and, you know, was following what he believed God was, you know, accepting or, you know, guiding him to do.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was disappointed, you know, I did accept it. And I know that in his time as Pope Emeritus, he was doing a lot for the church through his life of prayer. And,
yeah,
you know, I felt that.
And I completely agree with you. It's so tempting to think, gosh, if he hadn't resigned, we would have had so many more years of this magnificent papacy. But
yeah,
the truth is, one thing we ought to consider is one of the reasons he resigned was precisely the demands of the office. And
right.
So, you know, like, if because of not having the demands of the office, he was able to devote his life to the things he loved most, which was prayer and the liturgy and reading and teaching. And
yeah,
he was able to do that until the end of his days, which was a great way in which he still continued to be father to the church.
Yes. Yeah, and as I said, I kind of saw that as a model for the older priests who can't be in active ministry. You know, I knew priests who looked to Pope Benedict and saw, well, he's dedicating his life to prayer. I
mm-hmm.
can do that too, and that's my way of living out my vocation at this time.
Right. And honestly, even not as a model of retirement, just a model for all of us. We're all
yeah.
called to, in our quiet life, in our silent life, to be as Pope Emeritus Benedict was in those years of retirement.
No, I agree. No, he's definitely an example that we have to give more time to God in prayer.
So, Louise, we have under a minute. How can people reach you, you know, like get in touch more about your writing and some of the work you're doing?
Oh, thank you. Well, I have a website for the organization, communityofmary.org, and they could also contact me at communityofmary@gmail.com.
Well, thank you very much for spending time with us, Louise. This was an excellent article, and I'm really glad to have you on the program. I've been talking to Louise Mary, freelance writer on Catholic subjects. Her articles have been published in Catholic Life, Novena Magazine, and St. Austin Review. I'm Marcus Peter, filling in for Al Cresta on Cresta in the afternoon. Stay tuned.